Welcome to Abound in Hope, a podcast from Imprint Church. Our goal is to help you apply the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyday life.
Well, welcome back to our Abound in Hope podcast. We are grateful you've joined us today. Man, we are in a really fun series right now called The Word of Our Testimony, or Word of Their Testimony, which has been a blessing to me. I have been sitting in on several of these podcasts and listening to people, and then I go back and listen to them again later on my own when I'm doing work around the house or in my car or something like that, because these stories are encouraging. To hear other people's stories of their lives and what God has been doing in them is so great. So we're excited to do another one of those today. So first, we're sitting here with my friend.
Hey, I'm Tom McGregor.
Tom McGregor. And we have a special guest. Would you introduce yourself real quick to us?
Yeah, I'm Kristen Boyette, and I have a family. We're a family of six.
Ooh,
nice.
Now. A new family of six.
A new family of six. We just had a little one in November. But my husband, Jason, is often with us, if it's not all of us. One of us will make it, hopefully.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's wonderful. It's been great to get to know you guys a little bit over the past few months
and
Know your family. And I'm so grateful you've decided to come and join us in this series for Revelation 12, which is kind of a place where we learn that the body of Christ, the family of God, overcomes the evil one by the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ, and his sacrifice for us, the word of their testimony, and that they didn't love their lives unto death, which is a good reminder of us. And so Kristen's here to share her testimony today with us a little bit. So maybe you can tell us how you found Imprint Church, and just introduce your family besides Jason. What's the rest of your family like?
So myself and Jason, we've been married, 2009. I can't do math. So October 2009, however many, 12, 13 years. And we have four kids, Jonah, who's 8, Greta is 6, Liesl is 3, and we just had Ingrid in November. So
it's amazing.
Yeah, nice. big family.
Did you always want a big family?
I think we said, oh, let's have like 5 kids. And then, okay, but this is like, let's be real. We had the one and we were like, oh, okay, we get it. I mean, Jonah was an easy baby, so we lucked out. And then we had Greta and we were like, maybe we're done.
Yeah.
She was the challenge, but God had other plans for sure. Yeah. And I can't imagine, I mean, we couldn't imagine having 4, and now God has completed our family in That's ways amazing. That we never thought. So
You guys getting any sleep right now with a 2-month-old?
Less so now. I like I was telling you, we all had COVID, and so unfortunately that kind of messed up the baby sleep. She was sleeping like 10, 11 hours at night, and now it's like every 3 hours.
Beginning.
But you've all recovered?
Yes, we're all good.
And you have your taste and smell back and all that
stuff. It's an interesting virus, but we're all better, and we're very thankful to be better. So,
I wonder what percentage of our church has had COVID. I would guess it's high.
Shall we take a poll?
I know. Let's not.
Dude, can you imagine doing that on a Sunday morning? Hey, would you raise your hand?
As if it wasn't bad enough.
Oh, man. Talk about the divisive. So, if you have COVID, why don't you sit on this side?
Yeah,
if you
let's have just had nail COVID. The coffin shut.
It might make people feel more safe. I don't know.
It's true.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Like, if like 3/4 of our churches had COVID, we're all like, we are good. Let's do this.
Yep.
We're happy for whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So, Kristen, are you from around here originally?
Yeah. So, I grew up in Redmond, went to Redmond High School, went to Bellevue Community College at the time, and then went to UW. Born and raised local, which is weird these days when people hear that. Yeah, or like I run into people, I'm like, wait, you're from here? Like from here? That's so weird.
Yep.
People are just like, it's like a transplant city. So
it is.
It's funny to be living on the east side now, because growing up here, I was like, I don't belong here. You know, it's very kind of hoity-toity and... you know, Redmond High School was like, oh, everyone got a Mustang on their 16th birthday, you know, because we were the Mustangs.
Yeah,
it's like, here I am driving my parents' van. And that's not me. So I always thought that I would stay over in Seattle area and not look back. And then slowly we made our way to Shoreline, Mount Lake Terrace, and then back to Bothell. And so
nice.
It's just funny being like old stomping grounds, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. Because even I would see myself local, but I'm from the peninsula. Like,
yeah.
I grew up in Port Orchard.
And same
right?
with Jason.
So, same with
yeah.
Jason. Yeah,
I know.
Totally. Which is
weird
amazing.
Weird connection. It's awesome.
Yeah. It was pretty fun when we had dinner with you guys.
Yeah.
At a picnic in the park during
yes,
COVID,
which
right?
Is
super fun.
So cool yeah. to meet us where we were at. Like, yeah. all these kids. I was pregnant.
That's
and,
right.
Like, yeah. COVID's happening, but let's go. Have a picnic and let the kids play and get to know each other.
Yeah,
awesome.
That was really fun. It was fun to connect with you guys. I forgot you were pregnant at that time.
Yeah,
too. That's right.
I know. Yeah. It's like, yeah, you just run after kids all the time.
Amazing.
Even but, when you're pregnant.
But you're local.
Yeah.
I'm local, kind of. Like, I moved over from the peninsula over here. But you,
that's local.
It's
kind
of local.
Yeah. I say that to Jason. I'm like, I guess I'm more local than you.
Yeah.
But he also lived in Bellevue when he went to UW. So
oh, interesting.
That's where we met, was at UW. But...
Did you go to UW Montlake Terrace or the Montlake area? Or were you here in UW Bothell? Okay.
No, yeah. Went to the Seattle campus. Yeah. And I lived in a Christian girl's house there. And
were you raised in the church?
Yes. So raised Christian. And I say that so broadly because it was fairly broad.
Yeah.
Like Christmas, Easter, Christian?
No. I mean, so my dad is a pastor's kid. Mm-hmm. So,
they're
but
the worst.
Oh, I know. Like, yeah, no, they're great. But I think he and my mom decided, like, once they had kids, that they would make it more of a routine part of their lives. But I think for a long time, both my parents were pretty wayward. Mm. I think my mom. She had mentioned a few times that she was like doing Catholic church at one point when she was younger, and she's part of a Christian choir. But anyway, so I think they both kind of veered off the faith path for a while. And then once they had kids, they're like, all right, I think this will be good to raise them up in a Christian environment. And obviously my grandparents both were a big influence on that for my dad.
Mm-hmm.
I was raised actually in First Press in Bellevue, which Bellevue
yep.
Press now.
Yep, it is, yeah.
Yeah, so that's where I grew up. That's the church I grew up in. And it was growing up, it was like, we go to church every Sunday. Yeah. I don't care if you want to, that's what we're doing.
Was it a good experience growing up in that community or?
I hesitate to say no, because it wasn't not. I just, I just didn't connect with the community at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think as a kid, it's hard to, you know, I see this even with my own kids where it's like, we're at a great church. I'm like, why don't you want to go to church? Mm-hmm. Like, church is awesome. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for whatever reason, there's just like something that doesn't like excite you about the gospel or whatever it is that you're doing in your church group. And so for me, I just remember it being very like, I don't know, just boring.
Mm-hmm. It was something that you guys did.
It was something we did. But... And it was like, I literally remember like multiple Sundays begging my dad, being like, please, can I not go?
Yeah.
Or like, can I just come to big church with you? You know, big church.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just come sit with you guys? Like, I don't like going to Sunday school. It's like, nope, that's your class. You go to that class.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I kind of had a lot of resentment. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel a connection with anyone in my community. I was part of the church choir from like age 6 until I graduated high school.
Okay. Whoa.
Yeah, so it's like you would think like, oh, wow, what a community. Like you have all these other Christians around you and you're worshiping God every week. And but it was strange. Like it was once we got to like adolescence, it was a more serious choir. So we had to like audition. I say that in quotes if you can't see. But we had to like audition to make sure that we were good enough for this choir. And we, you know, toured in Europe and that sort of thing.
Cool.
And so but with that, it was kind of like, the people in the church choir weren't really Christians.
It was about the performance and the music, not the...
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, it was an amazing musical education. But it wasn't, like, a spiritual experience for me. And so, it's weird growing up in the church, and a church was a huge part of my life, but it never felt like a true connection. And I even did confirmation in 9th grade, so... I don't know if I should explain what
classes.
Confirmation is. Yeah.
Yeah. Say what it was. Like,
yeah.
Because there's people in our church who have no idea what kind of that is.
Yeah. So it's basically a class that teaches the theology of the Presbyterian Church. So it's PCUSA, I believe. I don't know at the time.
I think that's right. Yeah.
I think so.
Right.
Yeah. I don't
know.
Yeah.
I have no clue.
I'm like Presbyterian. That's what it is.
There's a lot of Presbyterians.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was basically like, here's what we believe. Here's the doctrines. And then by the end of like a 2 or 3 month class, you get up in front of the church and you profess your faith. Yeah. So similar to baptism, but since I was baptized as an infant, yeah, it's kind of like, oh, this is your real affirmation of your faith, totally, like as a conscious.
Yeah, you're confirming your baptism, right?
Right, that's right. The idea confirmation. Behind
it. Yeah,
yes.
It's so great.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So I did that in ninth grade and kind of was hoping for like this experience that like, oh, something's going to change. And I remember just like studying and doing my homework and just waiting for that change in my heart to be like, there's something more behind this. Like, I know that it's not, you know, just singing hymns and I don't know, just more. I felt like I was missing something, and it came and went, and I didn't feel any different. And it was honestly a little sad. Mm. I just like kind of kept going to church. We had a lot of transition in our church with the youth, and so I didn't feel like I had any connection with any leadership that cared. And that was really instrumental in like my distance from the church as well. Like I just feel like I had nobody investing in me, and didn't realize I needed that at the time. But looking back, it just makes me sad that there was a good chunk of us that missed out on that.
Was it a big church at the time too?
It was. Huge. Yep. I mean, I don't know how many people, but the youth group was, I don't know, it was booming.
It's still a big church as far as I know.
So that's kind of like, I don't know, skipping all over the place, but that's basically kind of my background as far as being raised in a Christian home. And
what was home life like as it related to faith and practice?
We would pray before dinner, we'd pray at night, but it was always kind of monotonous prayers, like the same prayers, like now I lay me down to sleep, you and before dinner it was always kind of like the same prayer. It wasn't like heartfelt. I hesitate saying that because I want to have grace with my parents too, because I know that their upbringing, like, they were doing things completely radically different for us than what they were brought up in. Even with my dad being a pastor, his parents were divorced when he was an infant. And so I know for him that was pretty traumatic. And so
Wait, your dad was a pastor?
My dad's dad was the pastor, his parents were divorced when he was an infant. Mm. So his dad wasn't really around, even though he was a pastor. So my dad lived with his mom. Mm-hmm. So
interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, so I know my parents were absolutely doing their best, and, you know, but it felt very rote, like we didn't really talk about our faith. I didn't know what, I mean, I saw my dad, he read his Bible every morning, like very, you know, very disciplined. He would get his cereal and he would sit down and take his vitamins, and then he'd like do his Bible study every morning, you know? And I think he still does that, Dad, maybe you do, I don't know. But yeah, so I would see that, and it was, you know, it was part of, I would see it, but it wasn't really much of a conversation. I have a brother, an older brother. He's 18 months older than me. And he was probably the biggest catalyst to me seeking out more in my faith. So he was a year older than me in school, and we probably had this conversation, but I don't remember, but something spurred him. He met a friend and he started going to church and, like studying his Bible. I remember it was like very vividly remembering him get an NIV study Bible.
Was this high school?
It was high school. Okay. Yeah. Yep. So I'm thinking it was, I mean, he did confirmation, and that's why I wanted to do confirmation.
Totally.
Like, oh, I see my brother doing it. Like,
I got baptized for that reason.
And oh, really?
My buddy got baptized. I was like, I should probably do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, that's a good and a bad thing, right?
It's sure.
Like,
yep.
The word doesn't return void. I'm like convinced that, like, you know, those influences are good no matter what.
Yeah,
so,
totally.
But yeah, that was a big deal seeing my brother study the Bible. Mm. And I went to Costco and got the same Bible. And, you know, I was like, yeah, this is awesome.
They sell at Costco, huh? They sell everything at Costco.
Well, not so much anymore, but they did at the time, you know? Yep. I don't even know if they sell Bibles anymore.
That's funny.
Yeah, but so seeing my brother kind of step into that in high school really influenced me. Mm. And so he, you know, I attribute a lot to my curiosity and my decision to like dig deeper into what does it mean to even be a Christian? Like who is Jesus? Which seems so simple, but at the same time, it's like he was so far away. My whole upbringing, he just felt so far away. It was like, you know, the call and answer and the liturgy and church. And it was like, okay, you're on a pedestal and I'm way down here. And do you know me? Like, I hope you do. You know, it's like this very innocent faith of like, I always knew that I was saved, but like, there's got to be more to this.
So. Well, and then you didn't have like youth leaders who were personal with you in terms of like your own spiritual development, growth and things like that. So I imagine it would be a little bit like, do I even matter? Does my life really matter here?
Yeah, but you didn't bail and you ended up in a Christian gal's place at UW.
I know. So it's like this. Yeah, right. It's very, so
like,
I guess to, like long story short, it doesn't. And there, I feel like there's plenty of reasons for me to become embittered or like just apathetic about church. Huh. And, but I think it's part of my like, I don't want to let people down. And so I know that this is the expectation of me from my parents. Like, I want to be a good daughter. Mm-hmm. I want to be faithful. I don't want to be a sinner. Mm-hmm. Like I know what's right and wrong. And I know that this is the right thing to do. So it was like Christian morality that propelled me. But then it was like God's saving grace that saved me, you know. And it wasn't anything that I was really looking for because I didn't know. It's like, you know, like you said, I didn't have any mentors. Like, we didn't talk about faith with my parents. And so my brother was, you know, he's the one that started having conversations with me and seeing his friend group. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. And then I met my best friend Tatum in ninth grade. And she was like, hey, my mom and I do this Bible study. Like, do you want to come over after school? It's like, yeah, sure. Why not? Like, I'm a Christian. That's cool. You're a Christian. Let's hang out. And that changed my life. It was like my entire high school experience was hanging out with this core group of women. My friend Kellen, I'm still like great friends with today. She was in that Bible study. She's actually come to Imprint a few times.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. She lives in Woodinville with her kids and husband. So, but yeah, it was meeting Tatum and doing Bible study in her dining room with her mom for my entire high school career while everyone else is out partying and drinking and, you know, doing all the things. Is like, Friday night, what are we going to do?
Oh, you did like, Bible study.
We'll do Bible study. Yeah. that wasn't that intense. It was more like, you know, the Gospels. But sure. No, but it was, you know, it's like, oh, let's be wild and watch Lord of the Rings until 1 a.m. You know, something, you know, silly like that. But it was truly looking back, like ways that God protected me and guarded my heart in so many ways and provided this amazing community that so many don't get. I mean, lifelong friendships that are just like forged in the fire, you know, it's like, amazing to have that when you're 16 years old.
Totally.
Like formative years.
Did you talk to your brother about his influence on you ever? Like, did you ever say, have you guys ever had those conversations at all?
Oh yeah. I mean, my brother and I mean, less close now that, you know, I'm married and boring mom, but no, no, but he's always been like, we always had this weird, people were confused by our relationship because we were like best friends. Huh. I mean, I've always adored my brother, whether it was mutual or not. Growing up, like he was my hero. Like he was, I always loved being around him. Like, and then at some point it was like, oh, our friends are like, we have the same friends and you're my friend. And like, I want to spend time with you. And so we would like hang out together and we would have these conversations. I mean, faith conversations that we've talked now so much about, you know, what was this actually like for you growing up? Oh,
yeah,
this is what it was like from my perspective. What about your perspective? And, you know, kind of came through the same, we're kind of in this a similar place currently in our faith. So it's been cool to walk with my own brother through that and have so many similarities and feel like, you know, in so many ways that he was like my spiritual influence in my life. And I don't like the phrase like spiritual father. I don't, that feels loaded to me. But to use that phrase, I would use that phrase for my brother. He would challenge me and he would encourage me and he would Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's so. My brother too. Isn't that the gift of the body of Christ? Like we have people that are just a little bit above us, yeah. And maybe they're not even above us. They're just
further down the road.
They're further down the road. They've become a Christian or they've walked with Christ. My brother, I mean, his testimony, he could share his testimony, but part of his experience was praying for me that I'd become a Christian. And watching him be a Christian. And I was like, I don't want anything to do with that crazy group of people. But like to allow the Lord to use someone like your brother and my brother into a life is pretty cool. And then to have this gal, like this friend of yours and this mom who did Bible study. I mean, what a gift.
It's truly amazing. Like being a mom now, I think, oh my gosh, if that was what my kids were doing, what an amazing gift. And Tatum's mom was 17 when she had her. So she felt like, you know, a peer. Yep, like we'd go hang out and be like, oh, you're reading the Bible. This is cool. Yep. Like, this is what cool people do. Awesome. You know? Yeah. So
we talk in student ministries often how we need, as kids, as teenagers, we need other loving adults in our lives besides our parents.
Oh,
because your parents are just lame sometimes and they just like, you know, I've got teenagers. They're just boring and they, you know, you kind of wonder what they think, but when there's other loving adults that'll come along in their lives, I mean, to have your testimony right there, that proves the theory, you know?
Yeah. Life-changing.
Life-changing. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
So, okay, so you are in high school, you're Bible studying, all that kind of stuff. Like, what brought you to UW, or I guess Bellevue College first?
Yeah.
And what was God's direction in your life at that point in your life?
First, I had no choice but to go to Bellevue College.
Because you're from Bellevue?
No, Redmond.
Oh, that's right. Come on. My bad. No. They're all the same to me.
They kind of are all the same, let's be honest. No, it was like, you know, I was absolutely blessed to have my education paid for by my parents. And my dad was like, you're going to community college because no one knows what they want to do the first few years and what a waste of money. And I'm like,
I literally just said that to my daughter.
Yeah. I mean, if there's anything that I will do like verbatim from my parents, I'm like, you're doing.
Yep.
Yeah. Because it was great. It's like, you know, anyway, so I ended up at Bellevue College. It was a hard transition, not going away to school. And then my community that I had known, everyone kind of dispersed and went their own ways. My friend Tatum went to Western, and she was experiencing some pretty big family trauma at the time as well. And so, I didn't know. It's like, what does my faith rest on? Does my faith rest on my community? And that's what it felt like. And I had kind of a year, I call it my year of rebellion, but let's, you know, be real. It wasn't rebellious. I was still like teaching at church, and, you know, like, although I feel like I didn't have any business teaching kindergartners at that point in my, you know, my faith life. I kind of had a year where I was just so angry and apathetic and just like, was this fake? Like, I had all these real experiences and I still feel this emptiness that's, you know, what was it all for? Like, I know this truth, but it still wasn't this like personal connection. And so, my second year, back to my brother, he started working at Mars Hill.
Oh yeah.
And he had been going, he went to UW and he started going to Mars Hill and he was like, you gotta come, you gotta check it out. And I was like, I'm not going all the way to Ballard. Like, like Redmond to Ballard every Sunday. No, thank you. That's like a 45-minute drive. Eventually I went and it was on September 11th, 2005.
Whoa.
Which is a really weird, I remember it. But, and the sermon was like, it was during the Genesis series. So for everyone who went to Mars Hill, I don't know how far back they went, but it was a long time ago. And I think, Mark had his wife had just had a miscarriage, and his sermon was like so raw. I have never at that point had never seen anybody preach from a pulpit from such a place of despair and honesty, but preaching the gospel and like crying out to God in a way that was very personal, and it jarred me. Like I was like, what am I like? This is very intimate. Like, how can I witness this thing? And what is this that this man has?
Yeah.
I want that.
Very different than but then
very different. The Presbyterian Church. I mean, well, first of all, you're walking in a warehouse that's like
totally
almost completely dark. Yeah. yeah, I was like, that's not a church. There's no stained glass.
Yeah,
like,
there's incense
no
burning in the back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the
it's
the
mixing with
relics.
The smell of weed from the parking lot.
Yeah, exactly. yeah, very much so. Yeah. But yeah, I remember sitting next to my brother and just weeping. Mm-hmm. Like during worship, I just like makes me emotional, but I just like wept and my brother just prayed over me. Mm-hmm. And it was just this experience. It was almost like a high that was like, that was the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Like, I want that. And I don't know how to get that, but I want to keep coming back and figure out what that actually looks like. And so that kind of was the biggest change for me that propelled me to want a true relationship with Jesus Christ, because before that I didn't know what that was, and at that point I knew I wanted it. So yeah, my brother was a huge part in my relationship with Jesus. And so I went to Mars Hill for almost 10 years after that
point.
Yeah. So my path was to go to Western. That was my plan.
Yep.
I wanted to be, I was doing a lot of American Sign Language, and I really had a heart for the deaf community. And so I thought I was going to do something at Western that was like, oh, maybe I'll like study audiology or something and be an advocate for the deaf community. And Western didn't have that for me.
Oh.
So I was like, oh, UW has this program, but I don't want to go to UW. Like, that's, you know, I don't know. It was just something that was like, I'm not going to go there. That's not for me. And I just, like, God was like, no, I want you to do this. I want you to apply. Just apply. I was like, okay, this is a waste of $200, but I'm going to do it. You know, like, very frugal.
Sure, yep.
I applied, and then I heard back the very first day of acceptance that I got into UW, which was like a shock. And I had applied to this closed major that was very competitive. And I found out before I even got into UW that I got into the major. And they're like, if you're accepted to the school, you can come to our program, which is super backwards.
That's backwards. Yeah. I was going to say, that's funny.
Yeah.
Was it in audiology of some sort? Or
so
what was
speech
it?
And hearing sciences, which cool. You either speech pathology or audiology.
Wow.
So that's what I went to UW for. And that's how I got into the Christian Girls House. It was like super last minute. I mean, this was like summer. So people who transfer from, from community colleges do it later than, high school grads. And here it was summer before I started UW, and I had nowhere to live. I was like, I'm not going to live at home. That's embarrassing. and my parents, probably wanted me out of the house too. But so I was just like, okay, I remember this gal from high school. I'm going to get in touch with her. I know she lives in a house, and she's like, oh my gosh, yeah, apply. I heard back that they had like a list of 15 people on the wait list.
I'm never getting in.
Yeah, I had like succumbed to the idea that I will stay living at home until I can find some other living arrangements. And then it was like second week of August, I got a call and they're like, you're into the house.
Wow.
Sweet.
Later found out that the lady who does the admissions had a dream, and God was like, showed her my name and was like, put that on the top of the file. Like, she's the one that needs to get in the house. And then like the next day, some girl dropped out, and I'm the one who made it in the house, which is like super encouraging, seeing now, looking back, being like, God's plan is like insane to me. I didn't want to go to UW, you know, I was like bitter. Then, you know, you get into your major, you get a house, and truly that experience living with 18 girls in one house, which it wasn't a sorority. It was literally just a house off campus, which is such a violation of like fire code or whatever.
Was it the U district or something?
So it was part of Vision 16, kind of, but not. It was like an offshoot of, I don't know if you know what the Vision
I don't know what
is.
Vision 16 is.
Isn't that the guys and gals houses that are Christian houses down there and stuff? And
so I think, was it David had talked about Skip Lee and the Vansels and his testimony?
So.
I know that was probably months ago that you guys recorded it, but I was listening to that. I was like, oh, that's so cool.
I know
I know them. Yeah. So there's a bunch of families that have invested in these houses and these students that they're Christian based, and honestly, they kind of act like the Greek system, but
totally
Christian.
Yep.
So that's its own story.
No hazing.
Maybe Christian hazing. No, yeah. I don't know. But ours was always kind of like the other house.
Yeah.
So like we were like the rebellious Christian girls, whatever that meant. Yeah, you know, it was just like, oh, you didn't want to be in the Vision, but you still wanted a Christian community. So you live in this house. Gotcha. Like you didn't have to go to UW to live in the house, which you had to for Vision 16. Anyway, so moved into that house and was challenged beyond belief by many of the women that I lived with.
Huh, that's cool.
Yeah, just different viewpoints, different like faith traditions, people coming.
So like expanding your understanding of the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And what it means to follow Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, the living in such close proximity with Christians was intense. Huh. I mean, it's like I lived with my brother and only my brother and my parents. I had my own room growing up my entire life. And then here I am in a room with literally three other girls, like four of us in one bedroom. That's, you know, we're in two bunk beds and we're super close quarters and
that's
we share
sanctifying.
Yeah. Three bathrooms for 18 girls, one kitchen. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just, it is absolutely sanctifying and challenging in various ways, like challenging, what do you actually believe? Why do you believe that? Like, what does the Bible say? And we would have Bible studies and, you know, lots of back and forth with the women in our small groups. And it really grew my heart to, I've always, growing up, I was always like super justice driven, not mercy, which is like, you got to have a balance. Yeah. And I did not. And so
we lean one way or the other.
Yeah.
Almost
yeah.
everyone does. Yeah.
What did justice mean to you at that point?
Okay. So justice to me meant following the rules. Yeah. Like you know, very
you
legalistic.
Girl.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh, it says that, you do that. Someone is not doing it, you call them out. Yeah. In front of people, like, you know what I mean?
But
just
it was
like harsh
personal legalisms rather than like caring for other people or sticking up for the underdog.
Yeah.
Or,
And at the same time, like I've always been like a very sensitive soul. So like, I guess I had that, but it was like, as I became a Christian, it was almost like I was drawn more towards the justice aspect of like, you know, kind of like Jonah, which is funny because we named our son Jonah, but like, you know, how he's just like,
yeah,
like
those are the bad guys.
Yeah, you can't save them. What are you doing?
I knew they were going to repent. That's why I didn't want to go.
Totally. Like, no, they need a different sort of justice for what they've done, you know. But living in that house, my heart was softened by so many situations, just like learning people's stories.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, so it kind of it propelled me more on a path of mercy and understanding and compassion and empathy that I think was honestly like my family growing up was a little bit on the harsher side. Yeah. So it was always kind of like, oh, that's offensive to you. Like, you need to figure that out. Like, don't be offended by that thing, you know, or like harsh truth without any love. And like my heart was very softened during my years at UW and at that house and living with those women. And
that's cool.
Yeah. It was life changing.
Yeah. So I have to ask, I think we should go down the pathway of Mars Hill a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think before then, talk to me about what you did with your degree and stuff like that. Like what?
Well, so this is the irony.
Because that's super cool. Yeah,
no, like, well, I wish that I did something with that, but I didn't. I did one quarter in that program and I was like, peace. This is not. I don't think I did my research enough to. Well, no, the truth is that I met with one of the professors and I told her like, oh, I'm going to be an advocate for the deaf. Mm-hmm. Like, I love this community and, you know, the idea behind the science of audiology, at least at the time and from the influences that I had around me, was more we need to fix deafness, as a scientific, you know, health perspective. Mm-hmm. And to me, from the community perspective, you know, deaf people, that's part of their identity. That's part of their culture.
Yeah.
And they don't all want to hear, like, whether we can accept that or not, that's the truth. And so I was like, yeah, I want to be an audiologist for everyone. Like, I'm not going to try to fix people or try to make them hear. And she was like, this isn't for you.
Wow.
Like,
crazy.
That is not going to work. Like, that's not, you're never going to have a practice that way. And you're going to have to go through 4 years of grad school. And then to realize that, I was like, okay, I'm now an English major.
Oh, sweet.
So I graduated with an English degree. But it's like, again, God's plans are bigger than mine. And I laugh. It's just like, I ended up going to UW and got an English degree. Like, you know, it's, but I met Jason at UW, you know, it's just like, it's, it's God's plan is beautiful.
Yeah.
Like his picture is looking back. And I can't, this is why I'm like, as I get older, it's just, it's like a joy to look back on aspects of my life and see God's faithfulness in ways that
I would
never have been able to see being in it. Mm-hmm. So
It's that's the way it is. You look back and say God was faithful instead of saying God is faithful right now.
Yeah.
Even though we might believe that.
Yeah.
We don't know it until later.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Did you see Hawkeye by any chance?
Yes.
So
wait, the show?
Yeah, because yeah. there's a gal who's deaf. Like yes. she's a main character.
I love that. I love the deaf cool. representation in, awesome. In entertainment. Yeah. yeah. And I haven't seen Coda yet, but I heard that Coda's a good movie.
I have not
too,
seen Coda anyway. Either. I've heard yeah. it's awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah. But yeah, I was like, oh, this is encouraging. Like yeah. The, yeah
especially you cool. being wanting to be an advocate, not a fixer, not a yeah. like, yeah, I thought there was something beautiful about a character that was genuinely deaf. She's yes. deaf in real life.
Yeah.
And, like, it was kind of a, I thought that was cool.
Yeah. 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 I was going to say, I was like, the show itself, it was mediocre, but that character is awesome.
My son is totally into all the Marvels. Oh, so yeah. We're into the Marvels, you know, judge me if you will, but.
No, you got to be into what your kids are into. That's awesome.
Into Eternals?
I have not seen Eternals. No. And Zach actually told me not to watch that. So I just trust
good
him.
Man. Yeah. So yeah. he still has his taste.
He does. Yes, 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 totally. I love the story of the girls in this house and stuff like that too. But the Mars Hill thing is interesting to me, and especially yeah. even you get an emotional from talking about an experience you had with the Lord there. That is the story of so many people. I have a little story like that. Even this is not my testimony time, yeah. but also we have a lot of people in our church that have gone through the Mars Hill thing, and we've all listened to the podcast and we've yeah. all done the thing. And I would say there's some people that are kind of under the Mars Hill bus to use yeah, to use absolutely. The terminology. Like, what was Mars Hill like? I imagine you and Jason went there, and
yeah.
tell us a little bit your story in there. You know, we want to, I think this could be helpful for people here yeah. who are part of our church who experienced that as well.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, the podcast, we haven't even finished the podcast because it's heavy.
It's heavy.
I think it's like everyone kind of has their reasons for why it's hard to listen to. Yep. And I think being on the inside and experiencing so much of what Mike Cosper talks about, and honestly, like learning things that we didn't even know yeah. as the church body has been, I mean, it's a range of emotions.
I bet.
So
it's going to be tough.
Yeah. So we still haven't finished the last one. We're like, oh, I don't know. This is rough. So,
the last two are really hard.
Yeah. Yep. We started the last one, and I think it was like hearing, I don't know, it was like when Mark was at some conference and hearing the pastor be like, we support this, yeah. like the division in the church is sickening and this man shouldn't yep. be, you know, yep. I was like, oh, serious? Mm-hmm. Like, do they know that he abandoned us? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like the hurt that we had as a community of church people that were literally like, I don't feel like we were under the bus, but we were kind of under the bus yeah, in that sure, moment of just sure. like, you pledged your life to us till you die. Preach your, you know, your funeral and close the coffin. And that's yep. your Mars Hill. That's like yep. what you told us. Like you loved us. And then it was like, you're gone.
Yeah.
Like, yep. and now you have people that are like speaking ill of the people that are hurt by you. Like,
yep. Yep.
there is a huge disconnect there. So we listened to that and I was like, got to turn that yeah. off. Like, I can't enough. Do this. Yeah. But yeah, Mars Hill, man, what a... Like, do you have 5 hours? Because that's how it yeah, feels a little totally. Bit. Yep. I mean, it was our life for, I mean, yeah. So to backtrack, Jason and I started dating kind of because of Mars Hill. We started going to church together. I was actually briefly dating a friend of his, which is how I met Jason.
Awesome.
and it was like such a short relationship and just like, you know, but again, one of those things that's yep. like, oh, I thank God for that because I literally would not have met Jason.
Yep.
And then Jason and I started dating and, like started hanging out by church activities. Yeah. So, it's interesting having like looking at our marriage and our relationship and being like, so much of that was ingrained in Mars Hill. Like we were kids being raised in Mars Hill. We got married when we were in Mars Hill, like a lot of our ideas about marriage and family and, you know, theology for better or for worse is wrapped up in Mars Hill and that's hard.
Yeah. yep.
And the term deconstruction is thrown around a lot and I am absolutely not identifying with that. I'm not even completely sure I understand exactly what it means.
yeah, totally.
But this time of COVID in particular, like the past 2 years has been a time for me personally where a lot of things have been revealed very like in a very raw way and one of those before the podcast or anything spoken about Mars Hill is like stuff I had to start dealing with that Mars Hill either taught us or, you know, I don't know.
You absorbed or something,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah. That was like these ideas that were kind of mixed in with Bible. So it's like, oh, this is gospel truth. Like, men, get your pants on, get a job, find a woman, make sure she's breathing, marry her. You know, like, start a family, have kids. Like, women,
buy a
you
house,
stay home.
Take
yes.
over the city.
Yes. Literally, literally. That is what we heard for a decade of our lives and very formative years. And so, like, trying to pick that apart has been difficult, especially, you know, like, not that our relationship is, you know, the foundation of it by any means was Mars Hill, but it's very hard. It's like, okay, we did our pre-marriage counseling there. Like, what about our marriage are we bringing in that's not godly? But then, like, I don't want to pick apart, like, the beauty of our marriage either. Like, what is our, you know, what's the foundation? It's just like this existential crisis of, like, where are we at? And what is our foundation? What is truth? What is, like, what is godly? How do we be a godly married couple? How do we love each other well? How do we respect each other? Like, respect was never talked about mutually. It was like
one person gets it.
Yes. Wasn't women get the love.
The women give respect to the men.
Yes. And, like, to be clear, I don't have issues with, like, submission. You know, like, obviously it's like God paints a beautiful picture of how Jesus lays down, you know, lays down his life for the church. And that should be what, you know, like, that's a beautiful picture for marriage. But, like, I don't know, man. There's, like, there's a lot. I'm sorry. I'm, like, kind of bouncing around everywhere.
Great.
But so our time at Mars Hill, it's beautiful and it's heartbreaking at the same time, because so much of my personal faith I attribute to Mars Hill. And you know, Mark Driscoll even. And that's hard for me to say because I have a lot of mixed emotions about that man. But the honest truth is that he was speaking truth that I needed to hear at the time, that, you know, opened my heart and softened my heart and helped me to understand who Jesus was. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for the community that God provided for us at that time. I mean, Jason, when we got married, Jason became a community group leader. And that's a whole other topic. Like, the idea of serving and literally pouring out your life for the church over and over and over is, like, so, you know, talk about church trauma. It's like,
And that was preached too from the pulpit.
I mean, our life was Mars Hill, really. It was like serving on Sundays, serving, you know, community group. We were hosting community group. We were leading community group. We were doing small groups within our community group. We were doing huddles. We were doing, you know, all the things. On top of communion, leading communion team. I was part of the photography and media team. You know, it's just never ending. And so I think back on that time and I'm grateful for the people. But it is like that double-edged sword, kind of what they talk about in the podcast, where it's like, didn't you see what was going on? Like, couldn't you hear what he was preaching and have a problem with it? And the answer is yes. But there was so much, it was so much more than that. It was like our community was wrapped up in this church and the people that we loved and we had been pouring our lives into for years were at this church. And so, you know, come 2012, 2013, 2014, when it kind of hit the fan, so to speak, and things started disintegrating, it was like, we need to go, but we can't. How do we leave these people that we've committed to? Like, we love these people and we'll be with them till the bitter end was kind of, that's what we felt God putting on our hearts. And so it was really, honestly, really hard to be there. We were there till the very end. So we were there when it became Cross and Crown. We were there for like 5 months into that church. So we were there through literally the disintegration of Mars Hill. And it was hard to stay. It was hard to be faithful to that calling while wanting to be like, oh, we don't want to be associated with this. Like, you know, you know, trying to separate ourselves, but at the same time, it's like, no, this is what we're called to, and getting the brunt of it from other, you know, it was on both sides. We had, we had family and friends that were like, I mean, like, I'll never forget a conversation that I had that was like so condemning, that was like, how could you do this? How could you stay there knowing these stories.
Brutal.
Like, yeah.
From
how
somebody
can you...
from the outside that wasn't.
No, they had been at Mars Hill and they had chosen to leave
earlier.
Yep. And it was just like, I don't know how to answer because like, I feel like I'm being faithful to what God's calling me to. And I know that these stories exist and they're heartbreaking. I don't know how to respond to them. Like not that I don't know what the truth is, but you kind of don't. It's like, okay, you hear both sides. And I know my experience was the pastors that poured into us for the most part were like, you know, Pastor Phil,
he was great.
I mean, he's like the only one that I mean, we're Facebook friends, not like we're like close friends, but like he did our marriage counseling, pre-marriage counseling, and he knew our names and he would ask us how we're doing. And, you know, like that was our experience. Yep. It's like, you're a pastor we trust and we care about, and you care and have invested in us. Mm-hmm. And then you have this like strange dichotomy of like weird stuff being taught from the pulpit or from a screen, you know,
right.
At some point.
You were at a satellite.
Or like we were at Ballard the whole time, but then he left to go to Bellevue.
That's right.
We were even there when it was like, okay, we're going to choose to be at the service where he's a screen because no one else wants to come.
Yeah.
Like everyone wants the Mark experience, but like we're going to be the faithful church, you know, members and we're going to be the screen watchers for however many years. But, so, yeah, I mean, I don't. Did you have another question?
Oh, man, I have 25 questions. This is really helpful, by the way, because I think this is raw, not just to you, but I bet you there's a bunch of people listening to this that goes, this hits deeply, especially with just the experience of, I mean, Mars Hill had, what, 12,000 people by the time they closed doors. And those people had to find a place. Some of them are friends of mine who've rejected faith entirely.
Yeah.
Some of them tried to find other churches. And actually, here's the honest truth. Some of the people who are part of the church are the best people I know.
Mm.
Like, amazing folks. Like, love the Lord and are still trying to process, still trying to figure out what they experienced in that time. So, I guess one of the 10 questions I might have is... how have you processed personally, or have you and Jason processed your time there? I mean, do you grieve being part of it? Do you celebrate part? Do you, have you, you know, chewed up the meat and spit out the bones? Have you, whatever it was like, what is kind of the primary emotion that you have when you think about your experience there?
It is so hard. I don't even know. Like all those things.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard because when we first left, when it transitioned to Cross and Crown, it was like, we need to get out.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't healthy. Like, it's basically Mars Hill with a different name. And and when I say it isn't healthy, that was from our perspective for what we needed.
Mm-hmm.
And
and
so we ended up at a Calvary Chapel in Shoreline.
Yeah.
And it was like this amazing healing process that we didn't know was a healing process. Mm-hmm. It was just like a smaller church, completely different worship style. I mean, like, the least flashy of anything, you know, like they're just like struggling for volunteers, that sort of thing, where it's just like everyone does all the things at this church service.
Yep.
And the pastor and his wife, like I love them. They are still so dear to me. Mm. And the way that they ministered to us is like, again, I'm getting emotional, but it's what we needed at the time. Mm-hmm. And God brought us there. And I will be grateful to them forever for being our friends and bringing us in and not even talking about Mars Hill. Like it was like, no, this is just like, this is what a pastor does. A pastor, you know, checks in on you.
Yep.
It's like, whoa, wait.
Praise for you.
You know, like we walked in and it was like the swarm of people were talking to us and we were like, this is very uncomfortable. What?
Mm-hmm.
We don't talk to people at Mars Hill. Like you kind of give a nod and you know, like you don't even wave at Mars Hill. It's like, and so you walk in and it's like the pastor after the sermon, he ran after us and he was like, you guys are new. Hey, I'm John. Like, what are your names? What brought you here? And like four other people came up to us. And at the time I was pregnant with Greta and they were all like, what do you need? What do you do? Like, can we bring you food? You know,
that's
it's
cool.
Like, wow, this is, and you know, from their perspective, they've told me, you know, they're like, yeah, you brought life. Like you were like, you had young kids and you're this young couple that, you know, I think the, demographics were more older people at the time. And so, I don't know. It was like it was both ways where we were at that church for a time that was, it was great. It was very cathartic to be in a authentic worship atmosphere.
That's cool.
Be like, wow, the worship is not amazing. And yeah. And I say that Jason led worship there, and Jason, yep. You did amazing leading worship. It was beautiful when you did it. But
we love you, Jason.
Yeah. But it wasn't flashy, you know. Yeah, it was like, totally. Yeah. But it was the truth, and it was the word, and he preached through the Bible, and it was like, oh, this is good. But it wasn't until we moved. So we moved from Mount Lake Terrace to Bothell, right at the end of July 2019. And Jonah was about to start kindergarten. So we were like, we need to get a house. We need to get him in school. We got to get him registered. So it was like this just mess of time where it was like, we got to get settled, do these things, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Start, like, we knew nobody over here. We didn't have a community. We were like, we need to find a new church. We're not going to go to Shoreline to find this church. Anyway. Then
so you guys were there for about 5 years?
We were there.
4 years?
Oh, wow. No, about 3 years.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Because they were at Crossing Crown for a while too. So
2015, beginning of 2015 or end of 2014 is when Mars Hill dissolved. Yep. So beginning of like 2015, took us a while to find a church. So,
sure.
Yep. So yeah, maybe end of 2015 until we moved in summer 2019. Mm. And so we were just trying to get, you know, find community and meet friends and find a church. And then COVID hit, and it was like,
well,
yeah. Well, now what? Yeah, you know, it's like, I think we had tried 6 churches. Imprint was one of them. That's a whole other story that, like, I feel like I should talk about because it's so encouraging to me. But, but then we were in this place of like, we didn't even establish community anywhere, and now everything's shut down and we're alone.
Brutal.
And
brutal.
Yeah. And so to go back to your question, I think COVID, I call it the time of COVID in my life because it's still going. Let's be honest. It's still going. But there was so much revealed to me in that time. And one of them was just feeling this ickiness about Mars Hill. Mm-hmm. And I use the word icky because I didn't know how to feel. I was like, didn't want to tell people I went to Mars Hill because I didn't want the judgment. Or I like, it was a loaded word.
Yeah. So like you guys had healed a little bit at Calvary Chapel, but this had finally kind of caught up to you where you're isolated.
Yes.
And you got to deal with this stuff now.
Yes. Yeah. And that's why it was shocking to me because I was like, what in the heck? Like we had 3+ years at this church that was, you know, every church has their thing. So it's not the perfect church, but like, man, the healing that we had there, I thought.
You thought you'd gotten past something. Yeah.
And honestly, at the time when Mars Hill ended, it was like, oh, we're grateful for Mars Hill. Mm-hmm. Like it was this attitude of like, we're not going to slander Mars Hill. Mm-hmm. We're not going to have a bad attitude about it because we met at Mars Hill. We started our family at Mars Hill. We had our, you know, first kid at Mars Hill and our community and yada, yada. There's so much wrapped up. But then, you know, you start getting into the nitty gritty of like, okay, now we're looking for a church. And why is all of this trauma kind of coming? Like, why do I have this hesitancy about trusting pastors,
like sure
about leadership, like where is this coming from, like what am I looking for in a church? That was really the question that I think spurred this realization and kind of allowed, like, COVID allowed me the space to open that up and like not have the distractions of life to be able to like dive into that and be like, okay, this is a lot deeper than I thought. Like I literally do have trauma from my time at Mars Hill, which is shocking.
Yep.
But it made sense. You know,
it's it took a long time to actually uncover. Oh, I do that. Like that's, I bet you that is fairly common. I don't know, but I imagine it takes time to go, that actually was horrible.
Yeah.
You know? What a horrible experience. And I'm realizing now that I have something that I need to work through.
Yeah. You know? It was almost like when you're going through something and you have that adrenaline rush to get you through and then the adrenaline's gone and you're left with like the deep valley of like, wow, now I have stuff to wade through, you know? And why do I feel this? Like, why do I feel, am I bitter? Like, I don't feel, I'm not a bitter person, but I am bitter. Like I'm like angry. Yep. I have anger. I have sadness. I'm still grateful, but I even feel weird saying I'm grateful because knowing all of the pain that so many people went through at Mars Hill, like how can I be grateful for a church that inflicted pain and taught things that turned people away from Jesus.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Totally.
And in a very practical way. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like mm-hmm. the hand of God spited or smited people or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. That's, it's hard to be thankful for that. And I felt guilty. I felt shameful for being part of a church that, you know, talked down to many people, mm-hmm. you know, anyone who wore skinny jeans, first of all, like, what is that? You know, yoga, the homosexual community, like LGBTQ community.
Yeah, it was made fun of, right?
Yes, I mean, it was
like,
a joke.
Yeah, it was a joke.
It was made to be a joke. And I remember, like, Jason and I would sit there and we'd literally physically cringe when mm-hmm. he would say these things. And we'd kind of look at each other sheepishly mm-hmm. and be like, oh, that's mm-hmm. embarrassing. Mm-hmm. Or, like, I remember we'd say, now we're going to have to answer for that. You know, like, to our community group.
That's heavy.
Yeah, and also to, like,
because you're a group leader, so you're going to have questions that come up that week about
Or, like, you know, it's like... Yeah, it was just the things that were said. It was like that kind of fell on us to mm-hmm. wade through. And mm-hmm. we weren't, you know, like, Jason's an awesome man, but he's not a pastor. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not. And thinking back, like, early 20s, like, he's not equipped to be like wading through the stuff that like a pastor threw out there. And now we have to be held accountable for, like, that sucks. That sucks that there's a pastor, that our pastor would do that. And he would do it repeatedly. Yep. And it was like, the idea of, like, this is Mars Hill, this is Mars Hill way. Like, mm-hmm. you know, to mm-hmm. use what you said, you're mm-hmm. either on the bus or you're under the bus. Yeah. And we don't want to be under the bus. Like, we believed in the mission of Mars Hill. Mm-hmm. Like, man, people are being saved. People are being baptized. Like, you know, I remember that Sunday that Pastor Tim, I call him Pastor Tim still, but Tim was talking about on one of those podcasts where it was like, baptism after baptism, and then his own daughter got up to be baptized, and it was like, let's just go back through the worship set. Like, Jason and I were there, and I remember that, and those were the moments that you held on to that were like, this is why we're here. You know, he made a really horrible comment about people who do yoga or you know, effeminate men, but like, okay,
but there was something real happening in the middle of that, like some real life transformation and change.
And even in us, I mean, and the things that we saw in our own community group, and you know, like, my own uncle came to the Lord at Mars Hill.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I mean, he started coming to, like, prove the Bible wrong, you know? And it's like,
that's amazing.
If that man can come to Jesus, like, there's something. There's something.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. And myself, even, you know, like, knowing my own story, being like, how can I deny that?
Yeah, you sat in a chair from your brother's invitation, and the Lord met you in a powerful way. And that's real. That's not fake. That's a real moment. Yeah.
Totally.
It always blows my mind, like, how humble God is.
That, like, he would use
he will use the mess. Whatever means he has at his disposal.
Like, praise God. And so so it's just hard to wrap it up into one word.
Can I ask maybe an easier question? Although now that I'm going to ask it, it may be more critical. How come you just didn't jettison the faith entirely after leaving Mars Hill? I don't know if that's an easier question or not, but, like, oh my gosh, it's not. I can tell by the way you guys are looking at me. But I wonder, at some level, like, you just go, this whole thing was a sham. This was just full of garbage. It's the people, part of the church. Like, I can imagine at me some level just going, I just want to walk away from the institutional dysfunction, the people, all pastors this way. I can imagine having those feelings. So how come you guys just didn't jettison everything? Is there something that kind of kept you in the...
Like, all I can say is mercy. I just, like, there have been so many times in my life that, okay, so many, that is the wrong way to say it. There are probably a handful of times in my life where I have experienced God in a very tangible way. And I can't deny that. And I think, like, God has really given me a heart to... for better or for worse, to have compassion and empathy, even for Christians who are hurtful to other Christians, and trying to think, okay, what has been done to them to, you know, like
cause them to do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To understand them and trying to humanize them. And, you know, even with Mark thinking like, something like he's deceived somewhere. Like, I don't understand. Okay, maybe that's a big statement to say. But like, what happened? Like, what is going on that?
Yeah,
this is, you know, that's not the truth of the gospel that I know. And there's something behind that, and yeah. It makes me sad.
Yeah.
But like I know the experiences that I've had that the Holy Spirit has changed my heart, and those can't be denied. Like, and ironically, multiple were in our time at Mars Hill.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I know that God is faithful, and it's like, church is not a building, and it's not, it's not even a people, really. It's like the community of God is bigger than that, I think. And like, in spite of church, God has revealed himself to me through church community. And so it's just a weird, I don't know how to explain it. So I can't really answer your question other than like grace and mercy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think Jason would say the same thing. I don't know. Jason's a lot more logical than I am. And so I think for him, he's like, yeah, this is the truth. So go walk in it. And it's been funny going on this journey of like, you know, I would say that I was kind of the instigator behind ripping this wound open because I couldn't deny it. And that's kind of my personality. Like, I'm like, you know what I think by looking at me. Like, I wear my heart on my sleeve for better or for worse. And like, I can't fake being okay. And it was like to the point where like I wasn't okay. Yeah. And like, you know, a lot of it was complicated. It was like, Jason, how could you let us stay at this church? How could you believe these things? Sure. Like, I did, but I trusted you. Like, you were the spiritual head of our family. Like, you know, like, and Jason, you know, to his credit, listened and endured all of that. And we've worked together to work through a lot of that. But, you know, for me, it's like more emotional and more like a guttural response versus he's like, yeah, those things were wrong. You're right. Like, I haven't really thought about it. I just kind of like moved on from that. And so it's been interesting kind of walking through some of those things together, and how we deal with them is very different. But but God has used our marriage to work through those things and strengthened our marriage, which is encouraging because, you know, first of all, still being a Christian. Second of all, feeling like our marriage is healthier now than it's ever been.
Yep, that's rad.
Is insane. Like pure grace. Like, I don't know how else to explain it. So, Yeah, mercy. Like, that's, I feel like, the theme of my life with God. Like, he's revealed himself in so many ways. Like, even we did Redemption Group at Mars Hill.
Yeah, totally. Yep.
And it was like, I had gone into that.
Redemption groups are kind of for people with hurts, habits, hang-ups, if you want to use the H's, right? The things that kind of you need
to... It's group therapy.
Group therapy. Yeah, totally. Yep.
Yeah. With
except a little
except
more
except for not with ethical
I was just gonna say it, it had no business being that way. Like, if you're asking me, like, it's like there's volunteers leading these groups, and so it's, I mean,
empirically it is unethical.
Yes. Yeah. So, but again, in spite
but good
of that
stuff came out of it.
Well, yes, like, again, in God's mercy. Yeah. I mean, and I know, oh my gosh, I know so many people, like, that wasn't their story. And it's like,
Me too. Or they're in a redemption group and were abused, like,
spiritually abused.
Yes. Verbally abused. I mean, oh my word. Even Jason's experiences, some of them, I was like, what in the? Like,
totally.
What are we doing here? I don't. Mm-hmm. But like, I went into that, you know, I have some abuse in my past. And so it was like an attempt to work through that.
Yep.
And I came out of there with God revealing to me that, like, I had this belief that God hated me and that Jesus was the shield of God's hate for me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Very.
Well, wait, you came out believing that?
Yes. I didn't know that I thought that. And so it was through working through this abuse and digging into scripture and reading the Psalms and, you know, it was like this realization of like, oh my gosh, like, not to use the term lightly, but like, I have daddy issues. Like, this idea of like what I've seen in the world of what a father is compared to who God the Father actually is. And like this weird mashup of like, you know, if you don't do the what God says, or if you're not the person God wants you to be, like, he's angry.
Yeah.
Like, there's wrath on you.
Yeah.
But Jesus has protected you from that, and he stands before you to shield that. Like, that was literally my thought. Brutal. And going through redemption group, I remember Jason and I were on a walk outside and we were just like praying. And this is going to sound so silly, but I felt the wind blow. Saying it. I'm sorry. That just sounds really silly.
It doesn't.
I felt the wind blow and it was the only way I can explain it was like it felt like a car crash where I looked in the rearview mirror and it was like this impact where mm-hmm. it was like my entire life, all of the things that I've been through that were bad, that were ugly, that were horrible. I saw the way that God protected me and his mercy. And it was like this light bulb. And that's such, I don't even know how else to explain it, but it was, I don't remember if I fell to my knees, but I just inconsolably started sobbing. And I was like, God loves me. He loves me more than I can ever fathom. He has loved me since day one. He's loved me through my own sin. He's protected me even through, you know, sin against me. And so it's like experiences like that, that Mars Hill's not going to break that. You know, it's like Mars Hill's silly compared to a truth like that. You know, that's undeniable. That's the pure grace and mercy of God. And to experience that, it's like Mars Hill is the catalyst to that. Again, it goes back to like, this is so weird, confusing and hard to process through. But like, by God's grace, I've been able to differentiate who Jesus Christ is from, you know, an institution.
Yeah, it's really great.
So, yeah.
McGregor and I are trying not to cry right now.
Oh, I'm failing.
Like we're at the end of our ropes here. But man, can I ask one more Mars Hill related question?
Yeah.
So if someone's listening right now and they have similar Mars Hill conflicting stories in their souls, like, would you have any words for them that would just be something you would say that you've experienced maybe in your, what'd you call it? Your COVID,
my COVID phase,
your COVID phase. Like what's something that you just realized, here's something I had to hold on to. Maybe a person is deconstructing or something like that, because that I can imagine that's a somewhat of a natural response to the mess of that. They would deconstruct, they would try to figure that out, whatever. And I don't know if I understand that word either.
No, but I mean, and I would say that that's maybe an appropriate response. I mean, there are so many things, like I said, that were just taught from the pulpit that were intertwined with gospel truth that shouldn't have had no business being
there. That's a good word.
So I think deconstructing is a good thing. It can be, I don't know, you know, the extent to some people using that term, but in a way, I think that's what I've been doing. It's like, and honestly, to be 100% real, like I would say I'm still in that trauma. I, even reading the Bible is traumatic. Like there's triggers in the Bible for me. Even, you know, I used the word submission before, but reading that word is like, oh, don't like that word. I can't read this, you know, like reading the ESV. I think I saw a tweet from you and you were talking to somebody else about a good translation. And so I got rid of my ESV Bible and I got the CSB and it's been like, it's been great. But it's like, you know,
that's what I use on a regular basis. I read that one now.
And so I would say, oh yeah, me too. But honestly, like I'm not in the word. Like I am sometimes and I am occasionally, but most of my faith life right now is like crying out to God and having the faith that he listens to me and he loves me and cares about me because of those experiences that I've had, and like to have grace for yourself, but at the same time to know like God is a God worth knowing, and like he's literally waiting and he's patient and he's loving and he'll be there when you're ready. But why not be ready as soon as you can? You know? And I'm trying to get there, but it's a process. And I think that if it's not a genuine desire, then just give yourself time for that to be, because I think so much of the legalism of Mars Hill has been difficult. Like, you know, study the Bible, like, you know, at all costs do these things, very legalistic, instead of like, what is the outpouring of your heart? Who's the God that you know? You know, and the God that I feel like was shown at that church, from what I took away, was like a very kind of harsh God. And God has been revealing to me a very tender-hearted, compassionate, gentle, lowly,
there you go, yep,
you know, God that meets us where we're at and truly loves people. You know, he doesn't, he's not quick to judge, he's not quick to put labels on people and to mark them good and bad based on the church they go to or the denomination they're part of, or, you know, complementarian, egalitarian, you know, all that nonsense. It's like God's way bigger than that, but we have to be able to see that ourselves, to be genuinely coming to the throne of God and like worshiping him, you know. And I feel that sometimes, and most of the time I don't. Most of the time I'm still like angry or upset, or like, how could people do this? Like, and how are people still doing this? You know, that's almost more of what I'm struggling with, is like seeing the injustices within churches now and being like, this is so unfair. God, how, like, bring them down. Like, you know, take that away. Like, how can that stand? And how can that stand before your sight? Like, I don't understand, but I also have the faith that, you know, God is such a loving God that he's in control more than I am. And I understand, you know, again, the retrospect that I have, it's like, that's God's character has been proven in that way. And so I can have that faith, even though I don't feel it at the time. But, so yeah, I would just say to, like, I don't know, go with your instincts and dig into why you're feeling certain ways. Because I think too, like, the denial that I have experienced with my time at Mars Hill was big, getting over that and and being like, wow, I, you know, like the guilt and shame being, I was part of this. Like, I perpetuated a lot of these lies. I probably spoke to many people and, you know, copied word for word what was preached to me. That's really disheartening. That's a hard place to sit in, to accept that and to like be broken in that, and know that I can't find those people and say, I swear I'm not like this, like, I don't actually believe this, and I repent of what I said, I ask for your forgiveness. I can't. Like, that's hard. That's a hard pill to swallow. And so, like, really having to like lean into God, even though that feels like the last thing you want to do. I don't know. I don't feel like I have great advice other than talking about it as well, and being, finding a church. This has been huge for us, honestly, is finding Imprint and finding like the transparency that exists here has been something that I didn't know we needed so bad. And like, I know that God led us here. There's a series of things that were just hilarious that brought us here. And like little nudges that were like, try this place. Oh, they have a podcast, you know, and a lot of it is like Jason saying, they have a podcast, we should listen. I'm like, no, I don't need a church podcast. Like, that is the last, like, I need another.
We've said that a couple times ourselves. We don't need a church podcast.
No, but it's like, again, like the tick that goes off of like production. No. I'm anti-production for a church, you know, and then listening to the podcast, and the first one we listened to was the Complementarian podcast.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I was like, all right, we're going deep. What do they have to say about this? You know, and Jason's just like looking at me like, I'm already 1 foot out the door. Like, no, if they claim to be a complementarian, I'm not even, I have no label for myself. I don't know what I am. Like, that's how I feel in general in my faith life right now. But I know that I, like, I've been abused by the complementarian hammer. Like, yeah, you submit no matter what. Your husband is the head and what he says goes. And
super hard complementarian.
And I know that complementarianism is, can be very loving, and
there's a spectrum.
There's a spectrum for sure. But hearing what Suzanne had to say and being like, oh my gosh. Oh,
so good.
I still remember, and I didn't even know who she was. I was just like, this girl's rad.
She's
like,
she's a gift.
Who is this
church
woman? And I was like, there's a place for me there. Like, if I don't have to identify with this, and we can still agree on core values of what the gospel's preaching, like, what, you know, okay, listen to the next one. It's like, oh, wow, wait, they're talking about this? Like, this is a hard topic. And
those two, like, were really fun to record. Oh,
well, they're very heavy.
We still want to record them again. We feel like we just didn't do great. I mean, you talk to us and we're like, man, we could do so much better with those. But you heard what we wanted, and that is that we want to invite people to be part of a community from the spectrum of different views. And we can say, like, we have convictions as a church, but we're not angry. We're not hammering it out.
Yeah.
You've probably, I don't know how long you guys have been here now, but we've not ever, like, hammered it from the pulpit, right?
Never.
Like, you've never heard that. And that's, I mean, when we get to top passages in scripture, we'll preach them as best we can, and we'll do it as humble as we can.
Yeah, so but much grace.
It's, like, it's hard, though. That's a hard, these are hard topics.
Yeah,
people
absolutely.
Don't like that.
Yeah.
they want their lines.
The
they
box.
Want their, yep.
And but that's the freedom that we felt we found here.
Yeah.
That's like, yes, there's like, and even saying the phrase close-handed issues, it's like, there's another
it.
Trigger.
I do that too. Yeah.
Yeah, but like, truly, there are some, you know, things about the gospel that, yes, hands down, we have to agree on, right?
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
there's like this huge wide spectrum of other things that I'm realizing now, you know, removed from Mars Hill. It's like, you're not bad for believing those things.
Yeah.
You're still a Christian if you believe those things.
Yeah.
Like,
a lot of people have believed those things for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, the irony being on this podcast is that the podcast is what brought us to Imprint. Like,
I didn't know that when I asked you to be part of this.
Yeah.
I was just like, man, it'd be fun to hear your story and have you part of this thing.
And I emailed you even, and I was like, this is nutso.
Yep.
Because, like, yeah, it was the biggest draw for us to come. It was
amazing.
Like, hearing the heart of the leadership of the church, honestly, has been an absolute gift. Hearing the honesty, the transparency, that was a big word that I feel like I used when we were hanging out that time at dinner. And it's like, that has been a game changer for us. And like, healing while we're here and still trying to deal with our own stuff, but like doing it in community and having, I don't even know the word, but like, it's almost like backup. It feels like backup, you know, like we're inching forward and we have the support behind us. That's like kind of propelling us in a good way. Like, that's what it feels like. And not a dependence on the church body for that, but like,
that's
absolutely
cool.
We need encouragement from the church body. That's what it exists for. So it's been really cool being here and being part of the community and having the podcast be such a big part of that.
That's hilarious.
Well, your story, I can't, man, I just thank you for sharing that. I think
of course.
It's meaningful to me, first of all, and that's a whole personal story we can share later, but I think it's going to be meaningful to more than just me to hear your story and to hear what you and Jason have gone through and how you're processing it now. And
I mean, the reality is, like, Mars Hill is not the only church that exists like it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And people are coming from that kind of culture.
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing to untangle because it's so complex.
Yes.
Even churches that look healthy from the outside and they go, man, there's been some mess and I'm carrying wounds from that and I'm going into another community, or I'm trying to find a new community, or I'm dipping my toe in the water of a place like Imprint to make sure, is this okay? Like, can I do this? Like, you know, that's...
Yeah. Yeah. And the patience that's required for that. It's not like you're going to get over it and, you know...
I mean, it's been 2+ years and here we are still working through that junk, and it'll probably be a lifelong thing, but you know, I don't know. I'm like praying that God helps me retain the truth and forget the rest. And
amen.
That's all that we can really do. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I suppose we could go on for another 5 hours, as you mentioned, but we should probably wrap this one up. This was a gift again. Thank you, Kristen, for
being
here, and thanks for sharing. If you have questions or thoughts, email us at podcast@imprintchurch.org. And maybe I could even put you in touch with Kristen or something like that. If you ever want to chat with her or say hi to her on a Sunday. She's a redhead.
Yes. Redhead. So, we're the redhead family, and I'm an open book.
That's
I am
awesome.
Happy to talk to you about anything.
This was fun. Thank you.
Thank
you for
you
being here,
so
and
much.
Thanks for joining us. And we'll see you next week for another, I think we're doing more Word of Their Testimony. We are. We have more.
Yeah.
So
have
we
had submissions with your blank questions?
Yeah, that's right.
Has anybody done that?
No, but we need more of that.
Oh, that would be hilarious.
It would be. We need more people to come and be a part of this. So hopefully they will. Otherwise, we'll see you guys next time.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening. For more information and resources from Imprint Church, you can download our app or head to imprintchurch.org.